UI.com.
And I dreamed I was flying, and high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. Oh, we come on the ship they call the Mayflower.
Oh, welcome back to the Up North Podcast. I'm Kirk Bankstead with Kristen Lyerly and Pat Kreitlow.
I'd like to note that Kristen and I just completely let Kirk hang out to dry there, knowing that he was missing that he was supposed to handle the welcome back.
But he was loving it.
But he loves his music. It's you
know. Okay, so listen, I was hanging out with Morgan, my girlfriend, and she was helping me pick the music. She found this song, and she's like, the Statue of Liberty floating away. It's so apropos for what we're talking about right now. And it makes you cry. We both kind of got teary-eyed sitting there together talking about this. We're like, holy crap, our Statue of Liberty is floating away right now.
I know. I mean, we talked about the repeal of Roe, and that's like, it's a huge step, but it's one of many steps the Republicans have taken to make the Statue of Liberty float away.
Look, to put it more bluntly, folks, things are going to get worse before they get better, but they're not going to get better unless people start taking action now while things are getting worse. And so to borrow a goofy saying from an old boss of mine, it's time to stock you up with some bullets for your intellectual bandolier.
That's good. There's a lot there, Pat.
What is that?
There's a lot to unpack in that saying. Probably some of it cultural appropriation. So I may be done saying that, but I had to tip my cap to him saying it at least once. There are just some things that everybody needs to know when they're talking, not just between now and November 8th, but well beyond that, you know, too, unfortunately. So let me start with the first one. The repeal of Roe isn't the end. There is more to come. As mentioned in the majority opinion, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote his own separate concurring opinion, all but promising a right-wing to-do list. And we talked about a couple of these already, Griswold v. Connecticut, which establishes a right to privacy. Again, it doesn't say explicitly in the Constitution you have a right to privacy, but there are enough other freedoms in the Constitution that the Supreme Court 50 plus years ago in Griswold said there is a right to privacy. Government does not need to know if a married couple is having sex not for procreation and needs contraception. Thomas wants to go after Griswold. If privacy is no longer a right, government can come into your bedrooms. Ted Cruz can come into your bedrooms. Kristen threw up a little in her mouth there. Robin Voss can come into your bedroom. They get to bring back restrictions on getting contraceptives. And it's based, Kristen, on a very perverse, unscientific approach to fertilization and how biology works, which I think we should cover really quick here, because we are going to hear more of that people saying that birth control pills are abortion. It's not.
It's really true. Birth control pills prevent ovulation. So it prevents that egg from being released. So I don't know.
If you're going after that, if you're going after that before.
I think we should prevent the sperm from being released. That's where we really need to go.
I was just getting to that. And I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but Kirk, we've got to get that Monty Python song, Every Sperm is Sacred.
Every sperm is sacred.
That's where they want to go, is they want to go farther and farther back.
No, they don't want to go to sperm. They want to go to eggs. Let's be clear.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So now that, and by the way,
this also means Griswold, right? So insurance companies won't cover contraception anymore.
Some could decide not. Now, right now, that's I believe that's all covered in the Affordable Care Act, but obviously that is still
depends on your religious status of the place where you are.
That's
#hashtag
right.
Hobby Lobby. So I just want to point out that in my lifetime, birth control was not available, according to the Supreme Court, under Griswold. I mean, it wasn't until Griswold was passed that women had access to birth control. And just a little bit of, like, you know, the pill history. When the pill was first developed, the only reason, if you've ever seen like a pill pack and you know that there are 3 weeks of active pills and then a 1 week of inactive pills so that a woman will have her period during that inactive pill time. Well, the only reason they did that was so that women could hide the fact that they were taking contraception from their partner, because it was so taboo. There's actually no reason that we have to have periods. Ladies, are you listening? You don't ever have to have a period. I got you. Send a text to upnorthnews.com.
Kristen's going to get so many more new patients based on this. So getting back to the sperm end of this, if you will, and this is a bit of a mature discussion here, but since government is already telling you sex is for procreation only, according to Clarence Thomas, if he goes after the Lawrence decision, government can tell you it's illegal to have certain kinds of sex, you know, what's routinely referred to as sodomy. Again, something I never thought we'd ever have to discuss this country again.
Don't we already have some statutes like that that are actually on the books, but just not enforced? Like adultery, I think, is one.
Yeah. I mean, there's, by the way, I'm going to go off on a tangent for just a second here. These laws are still on the books. And one thing that I'm hearing quite frequently in the past 5 days since the decision is, why didn't Democrats codify Roe v. Wade in all these years? And I have an answer to that. And you may not like the answer, but as somebody who was in the legislature, this is the answer. The answer is Act 10. What I'm saying is, you know, Republicans will do whatever they want and not tell the voters while they're running. They never ran in 2010 saying we will take away the rights of public sector workers. We're just going to do it. We're just going to drop this on you. In 2009, for example, when I was in the legislature, we could have codified Roe v. Wade. We would have gotten a lot of headlines for it. But then what would have happened the day after they passed Act 10? They would have passed a law repealing the codification of Roe v. Wade. The whole point of having an independent judiciary is to avoid this kind of ping pong where Democrats pass it 1 year, Republicans pass it the other year, Democrats undo it. You're supposed to have courts that look at the law and judge things on the law, not on a political or a partisan whim, which is what we have now with this right-wing takeover of the court, which is why we have to again talk about Griswold, why we have to again talk about Lawrence and, you know, unmarried sex, and why we have to talk Obergefell, which allowed for the legalization of same-sex marriage. And, I mean, as long as we're moving backward, let's be clear, the far right's attack on homosexuality, which we thought was weakening and went down to like a whisper, is going to get louder and louder. And in some states, guys, it's going to get stronger.
So you just mentioned these three Supreme Court decisions that gave us a right to privacy, gave, you know, the LGBTQ, you know, a little safety, a little bit of, you know, a little bit more freedom. You know, these Clarence Thomas said, basically asked people to bring these issues back up to the court because they will now decide something different.
Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. And this is another important distinction, because people say, well, wait a minute, there, you know, the Supreme Court had Plessy versus Ferguson, you know, that said separate but equal is okay. And then they had, you know, Brown versus Board of Education, you know, well, yeah, we learned something between Plessy and Brown. What we learned is separate is not equal. Mm-hmm. It is wrong. And so you had this positive change. But as the dissenting opinion said last week, nothing has changed. We have learned nothing different about this constitutional right. You're simply taking away a constitutional right because you don't like it. And that's where we're at. It is one form of democracy under attack, which takes us to our next main point. Our first point was Roe is not the end. It's only the beginning. Our next point is this isn't just about democracy being under attack. Let's zoom into one particular front in that attack that can be the most damaging. And it's not bad court decisions or other things. It's what we've mentioned before, the peaceful transfer of power, which is we talk about the bedrock of democracy is voting, one person, one vote, things like that. Another part of that bedrock is that peaceful transfer of power.
Pat, wait, could I take the fifth before you keep talking?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking the fifth on the peaceful transfer of power.
I don't think you're supposed to do that. That's
that should be our drinking game for today. Take the fifth every time.
I'm taking the fifth.
What we're talking about here is, again, as mentioned earlier, retired General Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor, taking the fifth when asked if he believed in the peaceful transfer of power. And you might think, again, you know, you might not pay a lot of attention to this, and you're listening to us ramble on, and you're saying, oh, you know, it's just one guy. No, it's not one guy, and it's not some isolated thing. We talked earlier in the show about state legislators who are undermining rightfully elected governors. In the case of Wisconsin, one of Governor Evers' cabinet secretaries was fired, meaning he was not confirmed. They withheld his confirmation vote for almost a year. And then when Brad Paff said something they didn't like, they held his confirmation vote and voted no, essentially firing him, again, undermining a rightfully elected governor to pick the cabinet that he wants. And then, of course, we've got Congress stealing a Supreme Court seat. The seat that Merrick Garland should be in right now, but that Gorsuch is in instead because Mitch McConnell held a seat open for months and months and months and did not fill it. And that, too, is, again, denying President Obama's voters at the time, you know, their right to have a president who makes the nominations to the Supreme Court that he feels best.
It's not a peaceful transfer of power if the power is not transferred. You know, correct. That's what you're saying, Pat, because the power that Obama had was to appoint the next Supreme Court justice or the next few. And they took that power away from him. So that's not a peaceful transfer of power. And one of the main reasons we even started this podcast was to talk about gerrymandering in Wisconsin. And that's another undermining of the peaceful transfer of power, because you're taking the power away from cities who are chopped up in half, and their votes don't count because they're chopped into ways that don't represent them. And we've lost that battle. That battle was fought
3 years ago this week. 3 years ago this week, this Supreme Court, or pretty much the Supreme Court, ruled on a case that killed the challenge to Wisconsin's gerrymandering, where they said if there is an extreme partisan gerrymander, we here in the Supreme Court cannot help you. Our hands are tied, but tied of their own making. And
it happens all over the country. This is not a Wisconsin issue. I mean, Wisconsin is a pretty extreme example, but this is North Carolina. This is Pennsylvania. I mean, this happens everywhere, and it is the number one thing that undermines democracy.
I'm going to go off on a little bit of tangent here, but just as you're saying, like, the Supreme Court said we don't have the power. Of course you have the power. You're the Supreme Court of the United States. In our own suit against Ron Johnson to try to remove from the ballot, a federal judge who has more power than state than Wisconsin said, we don't have the power to take this case up. This has to be decided within the states, even though, as we have seen in the last 2 weeks, Ron Johnson is about as guilty as it gets. In abating the insurrection. A federal judge should be able to see that.
We need a mule sound effect that we have to play
we
now.
Totally do.
From Ron Johnson for being a mule. When you talk about not having having the power as well, we have to point out the immense hypocrisy between a couple of decisions. The decision Friday that said there is no right to privacy when it comes to the right to an abortion, and yet with a straight face, this week, the court said that a high school football coach has a right to privacy to go pray at the 50-yard line, and that somehow that is a private, personal moment that isn't at all coercive, as if the young kids on a football team aren't going to feel coerced to go pray in the middle of that field. But somehow they found the power to grant privacy to that coach. And the last one I want to say about the attack on the transfer of power is, thank you, Evan, is again, President Trump's literal attack on the peaceful transfer of power and his unwillingness to accept that the election was lost, something that he had telegraphed months before the election. This was a coup in the making long before, and yet Republicans continued to coddle it. Candidates like Derek Van Orden don't shy away from being on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. You had members of Congress, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, who actually voted against the certified votes of voters in two states. You had Ron Johnson offering to be a mule for fraudulent electoral ballots from Wisconsin and Michigan. If you are Republican leaning and you're still listening 49 minutes into this show, first off, God bless you. Second, thank you for having an open mind. Third, if you can't vote for a different party, you know, for the first time, and trust me, a lot of people are voting non-Republican for the first time. But if you can't vote, then I can't believe I'm saying this because I normally don't say it. Stay home. Don't vote. To vote for them because, well, I like their tax cuts, or I like, you know,
what, Governor Evers gave a tax cut. Governor Evers gave us a huge tax cut.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, but that's just an example. I mean, yeah,
that actually takes me to a point I want to make sure I slide in here, that there's going to be all these attacks on Governor Evers about crime. Boy, they're going to blow up crime, you know, Kenosha and Milwaukee crime and everything. When you don't respect the rule of law, to let a governor appoint a cabinet secretary, when you don't respect the rule of law to accept the peaceful transfer of power, you don't get to complain about other criminals as well. That's the point I want to make, Kurt.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw, we're going to talk about this in our last segment. We got a couple minutes, a couple seconds left. We saw the courage of a 25-year-old Republican woman called Cassidy, Hutchins or something, who actually had the courage to stand up against the entire party. And that's what we got to hang on to. And we can talk about this after we come back from our break in a little bit.
We will turn a conversation to proactive steps next. You're up north.